You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America. You could be locked in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, The Fan, The Zone, The Game, The Ticket, whatever the hell your station is called. Thank you for listening. You can always tune in on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can always lock in on SiriusXM channel 158. And then, by the way, you got a smart speaker? You can always ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. Always a good time, folks. Here's the deal. Every single Wednesday night into Thursday morning, I bring you a new top six list. And momentarily, it will be no different. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest upsets in sports history. Some of the biggest underdogs in sports history. And so that top six list is coming to you momentarily. I'm being joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard. If you missed the first 2 hours of the show, you missed a lot. We get started 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. And to open up the show, we talked about Major League Baseball. The regular season is going to get started on Thursday. We got an entire slate of games, and we also have rule changes. So it'll be a lot of fun to see what happens with the pitch clock, if we see more stolen bases, you know, how teams try to be creative now that the infield shift is over. And then we talked about some other changes, some in the NFL. The fact that the NFL owners, some of them, want to flex games at the end of the year from Sunday to Thursday so Amazon can get a good slate of games, even though there are a lot of players who don't want to play on Thursday, first of all, and there are a lot of fans. Is it really fair to just move games on a two-week notice from Sunday to Thursday? And so the NFL is going to revisit this in May, but one thing that is happening, the rule has been lifted. Teams could only play one Thursday night game. Now they can play two, and that is with or without the flex scheduling. And so we'll see how that decides to move forward and take shape. And so now let's get to the top six list. It's real simple. We're a couple of days away from the Final Four in Houston. We're a few days away from Monday night, where we will crown a national championship in Houston. You don't have to wait too much longer. And throughout the course of this tournament, we've already seen some ridiculous upsets. I mean, three out of the four squads in March Madness, in the Final Four right now, have never been. Earlier on in the tournament, we saw Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. It's one of the biggest upsets we've ever seen in the tournament. It's akin to another number one falling when we saw UMBC smack Virginia in 2018, first-round defeats. And so with all of this new blood in the tournament, with all of these teams just coming out of nowhere to potentially win a title, can you imagine if FAU wins? I don't think that they will, but can you imagine it? Yeah, it'd be tough. Be one of the biggest underdog stories ever. And so I am not going to waste any damn time. It's time for a new top six list, and we are going to take a look at some of the biggest underdogs that the sports world has ever seen. This is a combination of players and teams. So let's get started.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to get JR's latest top six list, only on the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I'm bringing you a new top six list. Top six underdogs in sports. Who are some athletes? Who are some teams that just got the job done when they weren't expected to? Let's not waste any time to start things off. Let's just go to Japan. Let's go to the year 1990. Let's go to people punching each other in the face. Let's go to Buster Douglas beating, at the time, a 37-0 Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson? Oh, that eye was getting busted up. I want you to take a listen to this. The knockout, courtesy of HBO.
It appears that Tyson is virtually a one-eyed fighter at this point.
A desperate one-eyed fighter. Brawling willingly just to try to get in the shot that will finish things in.
Oh, the uppercut.
What an uppercut by Douglas. And down goes Tyson.
It's over.
It's over. Mike Tyson has been knocked out.
Unbelievable.
And Mike Tyson, long count. Mike Tyson just rolling around on his hands and knees, could not get up. Buster Douglas, he held the title for a good portion of the year. And then some man named Evander Holyfield, what's up to the real deal? He took it from him. And then Buster Douglas was like, I'm out. Until he did the boxers thing and decided to return again and then retire again. But Buster Douglas recently, he spoke to ESPN. And he talked about Mike Tyson, and he's like, yeah, I saw the guy enough. I had confidence. Yeah, I was a 42-1 underdog. I thought I was going to beat him.
And I felt strongly. I mean, I fought under six undercards with Mike, so I was aware of his potential. But I was there, so I got to look at him in a different way, not so much of what I seen the results of his ring bravado, but it was just him as a person looking at him and seeing him a little differently, too.
Yeah, I got that number six, Buster Douglas, one of the biggest underdog stories in sports. Buster number six, what's the next number?
Number five,
oh my goodness. We gotta go. Well, let's just get out the way. It's the New York Giants beating the New England Patriots, who were trying to go undefeated. This is the 2007 New York Giants. We got to look at a helmet catch, okay? You probably remember New York Giants are behind. You got Eli Manning getting ready to get swung into the damn ground. They cannot bring Eli to the ground. Eli Manning is throwing the ball into the middle of the field. Everybody is like, oh my God, no. David Tyree jumps up into the air, snatches the damn ball, holds onto it with his helmet. And then the next thing you know, Plaxico Burress gets the game-winning touchdown. The New York Giants won Super Bowl 42 against those invincible New England Patriots 17-14. The Patriots, unbeatable. The Giants, just a lowly wild card team. I want you to listen to head coach Tom Coughlin, Hall of Famer Michael Strahan, and Mr. Helmet Catch himself, David Tyree, talk about this play. This is from the New York Giants on YouTube.
He fires the ball down the middle of the field, which normally you do not do that.
No, not the middle of the field.
From there, it was like chariots of fire, you know, music going on in the background, and you're just locked in on that ball. And, you know, for me, all I remember is, you know, going up to high point it.
It is caught by Tyree.
Catches it. Ball off his helmet, head. You couldn't tell what he did with it. And I'm just thinking to myself, are they saying he caught that?
I really didn't know anything about the helmet. I just remember getting my second hand back on that ball. All I know is I got it, and I'm not letting this thing go. It's a moment in time that's literally like frozen. I just call it a miraculous play that I'm the fortunate recipient of.
When he caught the ball, game was over. We knew we were gonna win.
Giants won 17-14. What is absolutely crazy, and this is the fun part about sports, is before that play, when the Giants got back on offense, Michael Strahan was on the sidelines telling the offense, telling the team, we are going to win 17-14. And that's exactly what happened. You know, there's a lot of Super Bowls, and is that one I will never, ever, ever, ever forget just because of how crazy the ending was. I got the New York Giants, 2007 New York Giants at number five. You want to talk about some of the biggest underdogs in sports? Giants five, what's next?
Number four.
Oh, this man made his bones with and at the Super Bowl. One of the most amazing stories that you will or have ever heard in your damn life. They made a movie out of it. There was some guy who was bagging groceries, who went to the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's an MVP, a Super Bowl winner, went to multiple Super Bowls. His name is Kurt Warner. Tell me his story is not amazing. The guy comes out of college, has to go to, well, he gets into the NFL, and then he's cut from the NFL, and he has to go to NFL Europe, and then he comes back to the United States of America, and he's in middle America, and he's in the back of a grocery store at night, and then he's telling everybody, I'm going to play in the NFL, just give me a few months, I need the season to start. And then he's on a team. He finally gets to a team, not the Packers, but he finally makes it to the Rams. Trent Green is in front of him. Trent Green gets hurt. You thought Tom Brady's story was amazing? Yes. Greatest, most successful ever. Kurt Warner wasn't expected to do squat. I ain't see Tom Brady back there bagging groceries. Kurt Warner talked about his time at the damn grocery store. People did not believe the success that he was going to have. This is what he told NFL Films.
Really early in the morning, we might throw the balls down the aisles or have some pickup football games and just mess around a little bit. All the other people were stocking at nights and were hoping to become the manager of the grocery store. And here I am saying, well, you know, I'm just doing this for a few months until the NFL calls again. And you could see that they were kind of looking at each other like, come on. I mean, you know, how many people are ever going to go from stocking shelves to the NFL?
Kurt Warner did it. Kurt Warner did it. Trent Green went down. Hey, Curtis, your team now. You got Marshall Faulk. You got Torrey Holt. You got Isaac Bruce. The Rams went 4-12 before he got there. Trent Green goes down. They go 13-3. They are now the greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner, in his first real action as an NFL player, throws 4,300 yards, 41 touchdowns, and the Rams beat the Titans by like a yard in Super Bowl 34. The guy who was bagging groceries, this is Mike Tirico talking to Kurt Warner on ABC after he won everything.
5 years ago, you were stocking supermarket shelves in Iowa. Now you're a Super Bowl champion, an NFL MVP, a Super Bowl MVP. What message does it send to people who always have the dream but don't have the guts and the courage to follow on it?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I always believed in myself, and I got a whole bunch of people here that believed in me. And as long as I had those guys, I was going to give them everything I had. And it's because of these guys and the confidence they had in me that that I'm standing up here today. And I thank all the players, all the coaches, my family, everybody for believing in me. And we're world champions. How about them Rams?
Kurt Warner, one of the greatest underdog stories that the sports world has ever seen. I got Kurt Warner at number four. Let's move on.
Number three.
At number three, no coincidence here. The man I have at number three is 5'3" tall. He's out of Baltimore, Maryland. It's Muggsy Bogues. I still have no idea how this man played basketball in the NBA at 5'3". Only a man out of Baltimore could play in the NBA at 5'3". because only a man out of Baltimore wasn't going to take crap from nobody, wasn't afraid of nobody. Muggsy Bogues was shot in the head, grazed off of his head when he was a kid. This man saw life. He wasn't going to be afraid of a damn thing on an NBA court. And he wasn't no guy out there on charity. Muggsy Bogues could play. Muggsy Bogues was going to steal the ball. He was going to go down court. If you tried to post him up, he was going to knock it out. He was not a liability. He played in the NBA for the better part of 14 years at 5'3". And he was out there busting ass, initiating the offense, stealing the ball, going down court, setting up some of your favorite shooters and favorite players with the Charlotte Hornets. And then he played more with the Raptors. I remember him on the Raptors, and he still had something to give. Steph Curry's daddy, Del Curry, loved him. Alonzo Mourning, loved him. Another all-time great shooter. Glenn Rice, loved him. Shout-outs to the Basketball Time Machine. Put together a video, a compilation, bigging up Muggsy Bogues. Listen to Del Curry, Zoe, and Glenn Rice big up 5'3 NBA player Muggsy Bogues.
He wasn't worried about, you know, being the guy with the most points or being the star on the team or a guy in the paper. He just wanted to lead his team, to make sure he got the assist to help you score as easily and as quickly as you could.
I remember him basically taking me under his wing and just telling him, like, young fella, all I want you to do is run. Don't let me beat you down the court. You know, and he was serious. He said, I'll find you. Just run.
Now, I owe a lot to Muggsy because Muggsy gave me an opportunity to go out there and get extra shots, because if it wasn't for his pinpoint passes, probably would have been a little more of a struggle.
It's nuts. The average height of an NBA player today is 6'6". Muggsy Bogues in his time in the 90s, Muggsy Bogues was 5'3". He shouldn't have been out playing basketball on the street without getting smacked around. You want to talk about underdogs? I got Muggsy Bogues at number 3. Down from 3, what's up?
Number 2.
At number 2, let's go from an individual, and now let's get back to the team. It's March Madness, right? We're getting ready for the Final Four. If I got to think about an underdog, can you find me another one? Well, you probably can. But this one, I think, takes the cake. Let's go back to 1985. Let's look at the Georgetown Hoyas. They went 35-2. They had 5 NBA players led by somebody. I don't know what his name is. Maybe his name is Patrick Ewing. Villanova got Patrick Ewing in foul trouble. They abused the fact that there was no clock. Villanova had an out-of-body experience. They shot 79% from the field. Every game in the tournament was close, and that's why I got Villanova at number 2 here on the list, knocking off Georgetown in 85, 66-64. Probably the biggest upset in college basketball history. You can think of some others. I can too. But I got Villanova over Georgetown. I want you to listen to head coach Raleigh Massimino, Ed Pinckney. They spoke to CBS after the game. You might hear or remember some of these voices. Brent Musburger, Billy Packer with the interview. Take a listen.
Raleigh, nobody thought they could do it.
No, no one thought we could do it, but I did, and so did they. They played a great basketball game. I'm not even excited. I think it's true.
Hey, Raleigh, it's April Fool's. This really didn't happen.
It's a Georgetown win. April Fool's.
It ain't April Fool's. We won.
Ed
Pinckney. You come in here as one of the senior spokesmen. Tell me how this was accomplished tonight. This team had beaten you twice. They were a heavy favorite against you. What did you do to win this game?
We just believed in ourselves and a lot of hard work on everybody's part. Not only a team, but, you know, the fans, they were all behind us. Everybody from Philadelphia, hello, New York City.
Eddie, you early in the game, you went right at Pat Ewing. You, in particular, said we're going to come right to the big fella tonight.
You can't be intimidated, not in a game like this. It's the last game of the year of my career, and I just had to play my hardest.
Damn, I'm just having flashbacks of a couple of weeks ago, Patrick Ewing getting a boot. I feel bad bringing up Patrick Ewing losses. Sorry. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you number one. Who or what is the biggest underdog that we have seen in sports? Number one on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. How are you? You know, what I wanted to say was that I love your top six list. Those things are awesome. I don't call into radio stations, but this is the second time you've made me call in because I just love your list so much. It's fun to listen to.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Well, that makes two of us. I don't call into sports talk radio stations either. I'm just sitting around talking. I like speaking to you, though. Anyway, it is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I am delivering you a new top six list. And tonight we're taking a look at the top six underdogs in sports. Who are some of the players? Who are some of the teams that you could take a look at and just go, well, damn, they weren't supposed to be here. Let me give you a quick recap before I share with you number one. At number six, I gave you Buster Douglas, 1990, knocking out some guy named Mike Tyson in Tokyo, Japan. At number five, I gave you the 2007 New York Giants beating the undefeated New England Patriots. The Giants were the wild card team. The Patriots were trying to be the invincible team. And due to ridiculous circumstances and Eli Manning putting on a cape and David Tyree becoming a superhero, the New York Giants beat those undefeated Patriots 17-14 to win the Super Bowl. Just ridiculous ending there. You want to talk about underdogs? At number four, I gave you Kurt Warner. Went from bagging groceries to Super Bowl MVP to NFL MVPs, the greatest show on turf, one of the most exciting offenses that the NFL has ever seen. And I'll say it again, a Hall of Fame. It's a hell of a difference from the grocery store to the Hall of Fame. At number three, you want to talk about an underdog? This man could probably walk under the table. It is 5'3", Muggsy Bowes. You're not supposed to be in the NBA at 5'3". This man was, and did it successfully for the better part of almost 15 years. Muggsy Bowes made no sense. He was tough as nails. He could play offense. He could initiate offense. He could play defense despite his size. Muggsy Bowes was a bad, bad man. At number two, I just shared with you, we're thinking about the tournament, right? The Final Four. We got to go to Villanova upsetting Georgetown. Georgetown went 35-2. They had five NBA players. They beat up on Patrick Ewing early and got him in foul trouble, and they were able to hold on to win 66-64. Now, this is a little flip of the coin here. I gave a little nod to this on social media earlier today, if you follow me, at JR Sport Brief. I'm going to put two here at number two. You can easily put in North Carolina State knocking off Houston with one of my favorite players of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon, and another man named Clyde Drexler. We know about the importance of that game. Jimmy V, never give up. We know about the dunk to end the game, Lorenzo Charles. You can go ahead and slap that in as a tie at number two. Those are your two college basketball upsets. And so having put them there at number two, that leaves us where, Shep?
Number one.
We got to go to the Winter Olympics. We got to go back. I wasn't even alive to see this in person, but I've seen it and heard it over and over and over again. This is the United States of America beating Russia in the Winter Olympics in New York. This is the miracle on ice. The Soviet Union at the time, they won gold in five out of the last six Olympics. The United States of America had amateurs out there. They ain't have no pros. The United States of America won 4-3 in the medal round, and then they beat Finland for the gold. Or the gold, I should say. I want you to listen to the final call. You might remember this voice. He's now calling them crappy football games on Thursday on Amazon. It's Al Michaels. Here, listen, on ABC.
43 seconds remaining. Morrow, checked into the boards. It comes back to center ice. 38, 37 seconds left in the game. Petrov with it. The Americans on top, 4-3. Long shot. Craig able to get a piece of it to sweep it away. 28 seconds. The crowd going insane. Karlamov. Shooting it into the American end again. Morrow is back there. Now Johnson, 19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. That I probably heard that more than anything else I was not alive to listen to. I got U.S. I got the miracle on ice. I got that number one on my list when I want to talk about underdogs in sports. I guess this is like if the United States men's national team beat London, or not London, but if they beat England, France, and then Brazil to win the damn World Cup. Not happening.
So, you believe in miracles? Yes!
That's now the 1,234th time that I've heard that. It's the miracle on ice. Number one underdog story in sports. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. There are a lot of underdogs, teams, players that nobody gave a damn chance to, and they came out on top. I'm going to take some of your calls on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, JR? I enjoy listening to you when I'm on the road, driving back. You always make a lot of sense, and you're funny as hell. You really have a lot of substance to you.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. March Madness is coming to a close, right? We got the Final Four games on Saturday. We got the National Championship game on Monday. And so tonight, with a new top six list, I wanted to share with you the top underdogs that we have seen in the world of sports. If you missed it, the explanations, etc., go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. At number six, I gave you Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. At number five, I gave you the 2007 New York Giants knocking off those New England Patriots. At number four, I gave you Kurt Warner going from bagging groceries to Super Bowl MVP. At number three, I gave you 5'3", Muggsy Bowes. At number two, I gave you a tie. You had Villanova over Georgetown. I also had to put North Carolina State in there as well in 1983, beating the Houston Cougars. I'm sorry, I couldn't choose one over the other. And at number one, I gave you the Miracle on Ice. I gave you the U.S. hockey beating the Soviet Union in the 1980 Winter Olympics. U.S. hockey with amateurs had no business going out there and beating the Russians. And they did. That's why I have them at number one. That's just completely out of this world. Obviously, so many more underdogs, teams, and athletes in the world of sports. Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines. Please, give me one, not your list, one athlete or one team. 855-212-4CBS. Paul is here from Rhode Island. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, JR. Let me give it to you straight. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Shep. A while back, there was a team with the lowest payroll in baseball. And another Muggsy, his name was Kirby Puckett. That guy won a World Series. Well, everybody else had the big purse, the Yankees. Everybody had big, big contracts. And Kelly was the manager. And let me tell you, that was pretty awesome. Even though I am a Red Sox and San Diego guy, but that was awesome to see back in the day. A short of little guy, the Kirby Puckett.
Okay.
As you remember.
Well, thank you, Paul. I certainly do. I got a lot of family out in the Twin Cities, and everybody's dog and pet was named Kirby, especially my family. We had a dog named Kirby. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. Josh is here from Tucson, Arizona. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Josh? Who's the underdog?
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call. I would say it's 2000 Olympic gold medalist Rulon Gardner from the United States. He was wrestling someone that was going for his fourth Olympic wrestling gold medal. It would have been the first one of all time. Alexander Karelin from Russia.
I was going to say he was Russian too.
He had not lost a match in 13 years. And this farm boy from Afton, Wyoming, beat him.
Yeah, where's Rulon Gardner now? What's he been doing?
Well, actually, he's trying to one-up himself. He's he's trying to make the 2024 Olympic team.
No, he's
51
not.
Years old.
No, he's not. What is he? He got to be. How old is he? He got to be in his 40s.
He's 51.
He's 51. He's trying to make the team again?
Yes.
So what has he been doing besides being, I don't know, a little? See, here I am. I'm saying that he can't do it. It's a young man's game.
It is. Well, I mean, he after the Olympics, he actually almost died in a snowmobiling accident.
Oh, my God.
Actually, in between Olympics, he actually wrestled in the 2004 Olympics after he had gotten in this accident, had a couple toes amputated because he had frostbite.
Yeah. I remember that story. Yeah. Well, look. Whatever keeps the motor going, and God bless him if he can do it. I'm here for the story if he can make it happen. Hey, thank you, Josh. I haven't spoken about or even heard the name Rulon Gardner in years. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Let's go from Tucson in Arizona. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Todd. He's calling from Cleveland. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
J.R. Butler. When Butler went the distance in the NCAA tournament, and every round the announcers were talking about, I guess this is where it ends for Butler, and Butler still went the distance. I think that's, as far as team underdogs, that's the best one I could come up with, without a doubt. Even after listening to you, I'm like, nah, man, Butler.
That was the launching pad for Brad Stevens and his career. I actually remember, and this is how long ago it was, back in 2011, Butler was still hot. I remember being at the Final Four in 2011, and I was talking to Charles Barkley, and I was talking to Kenny, and I actually spoke to some of the Butler alums, and this was back in 2011, man. So, yeah, Butler, the Bulldogs, they went on one hell of a stretch. If I have to think about the 2011, yep, they lost. That was the year they lost to UConn. I was there, and I was actually at the game, man. It was they've gone on a stretch. Butler hasn't been to the tournament, I don't think, in the past 4 or 5 years. But, nah, you can't take away what they did when Brad Stevens was there.
Yeah, that was impressive, especially, like I said, every game. Folks were like, this is where it ends for Butler, and Butler kept rolling. I was a teenager, and my dad had tickets to the Villanova-Georgetown Finals, so I saw that in person. And nobody around me, nobody was sitting around us, thought that Villanova couldn't beat them because they handled them in the Big East tournament.
Twice. Yep, in a tournament, and then beat them before then, too. Yeah.
All right, man.
Thank you so much. Todd calling up from Cleveland, 855-212-4CBS. When we talk about underdogs, what team or what athlete would you say? Let's go to Ohio. Let's talk to Dan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I'm just going to make it brief. I'm losing my voice. I was just thinking about the Jets in 69. I think they were getting like 16.5 points against the Colts.
Yeah, that guy, the quarterback with the bad knees who wore lingerie, right?
Joe Namath.
Yeah, that man did it. He said that they were going to do it, and they did it.
Yeah, I think they were getting like 16 or 16.5 points, but I'm going to go. I'm losing my voice.
Oh, no, we want you to keep that. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you, man. Feel better. Oh, my God. I wish I could send a Ricola through the phone. Hey, Shep, we should figure out where he lives, and then I can Uber Eats him some. Can I Uber? Yeah, I can do that. Like, I can Uber Eats cough drops, because you can just send it. From, like, somebody will buy it from the supermarket or CVS or something, right?
You know why he was coughing, right?
Uh-oh. Was he losing his voice, or was he participating in the...
Oh, no, because it's reminiscent of Butler still choking in the 2011 NCAA Men's Finals when they scored 41 points. One of the biggest disasters I've ever seen in a championship game. I mean, how they're being considered an underdog is beyond me. What? They were awful.
No. That man had a sore throat.
I understand that.
That man had a sore throat. And you were somehow able to tie in a correlation between his sore throat and a choke job?
Well, I was sitting on the Butler joke for a minute there. And I don't think, like people want to make Brad Stevens out to be like Boy Wonder. Like, he's an overrated coach. Like, there's a reason why a first-year head coach, Ime Udoka, got to the finals in his first year, and Stevens in 5 years couldn't get there once. So, I mean, is he the greatest underdog story? No. And Gordon Hayward, last time I checked, and Shelvin Mack, those guys can play. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, that is, we were talking, I was more concerned with the gentleman coughing.
I know, but that's why he was coughing, because the Butler choke job. Clearly, you don't love the joke, but...
No, I think the joke was, I got to be honest.
Terrible?
The joke was terrible.
Oh, fair enough. Thank you, Charles.
I'm worried about this guy somewhere. He's coughing his lungs out, and you telling us about Butler.
Oh, he'll be fine.
How about Butler? Look, man, nobody expects anything out of Butler. I'm not talking about individual seasons and years. Butlers are one of the teams that's just like, yeah, whatever. Here they go. Okay, so they haven't been here for 4 or 5 years, and they'll come back for a year or two, maybe three, and then they'll disappear for another. Like, nobody's thinking anything about Butler. But besides that, I'm worried about the man choking, okay? You got to be a little warmer and kinder, Chef. Come on. Let me be the jerk here, all right?
I apologize, Jared. I'm a pretty nice guy, but sometimes I'm always going to make a joke here and there. So, you know, can't blame me, right?
That's fine.
Got to spice it up a little bit.
That's fine. I just want that man to have a halls, right?
But in all seriousness, like, Jared, you know this. Like, I love our callers. I love them. So, I say anything in jest. I say anything lightheartedly. I don't mean for one second for anyone to have any harm, especially from calling this show.
I didn't say you wanted the guy to have harm. I just said that.
Good.
I'm trying to send him Halls and Ricola. You talking about Butler. Hey, when you have a sore throat, what do?
I clear it, or I have water next to me.
A sore throat? Like you are losing your voice, like it is going? What would you do? Clearing it ain't going to make it come back.
I would have like green tea, something of that nature.
Okay. Yeah. I've been here. I think I missed my whole damn birthday on CBS. How do we miss it?
You missed your birthday?
No, not my birthday. I'm talking about on CBS.
Your 3-year anniversary.
No, is it 3?
It's definitely.
You're the one who
makes
me here. You make me here longer than I have been.
You have been here for more than 3 years. I'm positive.
Yeah, now three years and a couple of days.
3 years more than full time, and you've been at the Fan, I want to say, for 6 or 7.
Oh, whoa, slow down.
Okay.
It's 2018, the first time I did the Fan in New York City.
Okay, so you're on your 6th year, so I'm kind of right there.
Well, yeah, 2018, that's 2 years plus 3, that's 5 years,
well,
man, okay?
2018 is 1, 2019, 2020, that's 3, 2021, 2022, and 2023, that's an additional 3 years, that's 6 years.
This is not, we're not even halfway through this year.
You're in your 6th year, JR.
Nah, 5 full plus a couple of months. I don't look at a baby and go, oh, this baby is 2 years old because he's, you know, a year and 4 months. We're going to do some math on the other side. I'm going to get to more of your calls. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.